My guest at this time is Victoria Tuntzing, a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General and a former federal prosecutor. She is now a partner in the Washington law firm of DeGeneva Tuntzing. We've asked her to weigh in on two major stories, namely the latest leaks aimed at President Trump. First, transcripts of Trump's conversations with some world leaders from the first week of his administration were leaked to the Washington Post. Then we learned through leaks to the Wall Street Journal that Special Counsel Robert Mueller established a grand jury in Washington, D.C. several weeks ago as part of his ongoing and expanding investigation that began with orders to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential campaign. So, Victoria, let's start with the national security leaks that were reported in the Post. The Post's own story repeatedly admitted that what it published is still classified. So how does this happen, and is this prosecutable?
It is absolutely prosecutable. It is a leak of classified information. What the Washington Post is doing is affecting President Trump's ability to do his job, because the Washington Post is absolutely committed to bringing down this presidency. Democracy dies in darkness. You know their new
right.
new label, their new motto. Well, democracy dies in fake news and publishing classified information, which provides no news value. What did we learn in the publishing of that transcript? Nothing.
Well, apparently world leaders disagree sometimes, Victoria.
Yeah, and they talk with each other, and they negotiate, and they have problems with what each other do. But was that earth-shaking news? Did it reveal some kind of new policy? Was it inconsistent with anything that Donald Trump had said before? While he was running for president, or President Trump said after he became president? No. So they've got to crack down. The Post story also said that these are notes of staff people and that they are routinely shared with a number of people. Well, you know, I think that routinely shared has got to stop. They're going to have to limit the number of people who get these kinds of documents.
Victoria, I'm sure you've seen the reports in recent days, and perhaps even further back than that, that many of the national security personnel that Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes brought into the White House are still there. From what you know, is that true? And if so, why are they still there?
Because that's the president's fault. The president has been told, I know, whom to get rid of, and he has not done so. He has nothing but himself to blame. And also, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know General McMaster's, but what I'm reading is that he's gotten rid of some very excellent NSC staff who seem to be more conservative, like hardliners against Iran, which I thought was a good idea. But evidently, McMaster's doesn't, and he's gotten rid of them. President controls all of that.
Victoria, when it comes to the legal side of this, people defending the Post or any other publication who publishes this sort of material might hearken back to the Pentagon Papers case and, you know, things they'll claim was in the national interest. You just explained a moment ago that we didn't really get any bombshell news or even any disparity in Trump policy. But what do you make of what will likely be that argument?
Well, let's see. We don't have to go back to the Pentagon Papers. Let's just go back to the Obama administration and Eric Holder as Attorney General. They went after 20 AP reporters.
Right.
I'm sure you remember that.
Sure.
There was hardly a peep. AP peeped a little, but there was not any massive outcry in the press if Donald Trump had done that. They subpoenaed their phone records from Verizon. AP, they didn't even have notice that these subpoenas had taken place. But worse, the Eric Holder's people went after James Rosen from Fox News and called him a co-conspirator, a criminal, and he was a flight risk. Look at what the Obama administration did without much of a murmur.
You mentioned H.R. McMaster a moment ago. In addition to his questionable decision on some of the personnel in the National Security Council, there's also headlines that he's allowed former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, who, of course, is a figure in the unmasking investigation, to keep the clearance that she had. What does that tell you?
Well, that concerns me. I mean, if Susan Rice is talking, she's lying. That has been her modus operandi throughout the whole Obama administration, from Benghazi to Sergeant Birdall. He was a wonderful guy who served his country. I mean, I have not seen her take on any major issue that she did not provide false statements. So why he stuck up for her, I have no idea. By the way, one of the most important things in Jeff Sessions' announcement today was that the Justice Department is going to review subpoenas to reporters. And that was significant. That stood out to me more than any other comment. What he should have also said was, just like the Obama administration, we're going to look at them just like the Obama administration.
And so that was actually the question as he and the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, left the stage. You had reporters right. calling out, are you going to prosecute journalists?
And,
so that tips the hand, I guess, from your perspective, that they're absolutely willing to do that if that's where the evidence leads.
Well, they don't have to go that far. They can subpoena them, bring them before the grand jury. Remember, Patrick Fitzgerald did that to Judith Miller in the Scooter LaBeouvallerie Plame situation. Mm-hmm. And there hadn't even been a crime there, we all know. Fitzgerald didn't even have to know who leaked it because he already knew from the first day that he was appointed that it was Richard Armitage.
How do you actually go about figuring out who is doing the leaking? General Kelly, the new chief of staff, has talked about cracking down on this, and obviously now Jeff Sessions and Dan Coats are doing it. They've admitted also in the Friday press conference that it can be tricky to prosecute sometimes, but how do you go about figuring out who the problem is?
Well, they're going to have to limit the number of people who have access to these documents. They can have a procedure where they put a number on them so that if they subpoena the reporter to provide the document, they could match that up. Some reporters will probably sit in jail a long time, like Judith Miller did. But I think the message has to go out there. I think they have to start intimidating some of these people who have just been, blatant in their providing and publishing classified information. There are a number of ways of limiting documents, going after the phone records. At least you'll tighten some people up as far as being cavalier about doing this. By the way, the other leak that we were talking about was about the grand jury.
Right.
That could or could not be a leak because you could have had a witness called before the grand jury or someone who was asked to provide documents who provided that information, and that is not a crime.
Okay.
It's a crime if the prosecutors do it, but not if somebody who's a witness talks about it.
What do you make of the creation of the grand jury? Do you believe that this could simply be a way to expedite the gathering of information and testimony from witnesses, or is it the sign of a mission creep and a clear intent to pursue criminal charges here?
Well, we don't know, but it very well could just be a regular process. Usually when there is a crime, and I don't know the crime yet, do you? But when there's an investigation, a grand jury is usually open. That's how you get documents. Now, does this call to mind a question? Hillary Clinton investigation, they never opened a grand jury. Remember that? And so because they didn't have a grand jury subpoena power, they were negotiating with all of these people and giving them immunities. Oh, if you give us this document, you'll never be prosecuted. That is not the way a regular investigation takes place.
In looking at the witness lineup, at least as far as we can tell from the reporting we've seen in the past few hours, Victoria, is that most of the people expected to testify are FBI officials who you would assume are fairly loyal to James Comey. Is that pretty standard given that they're involved in this investigation already, or does that raise a red flag for you?
No, when I was a federal prosecutor, I would bring in agents all the time because they're doing the investigation. So we don't know whether they're fact witnesses, which would be one thing, or whether they're coming in because they have done X, Y, and Z, and they need to tell the grand jury about their investigation.
This obviously started about the 2016 elections and any Russian interference in that campaign. Now we're looking into Trump Organization finances and possible financial ties. And so the term mission creep is coming into mind here for a lot of people. Even when the political parties are flipped, you know, Ken Starr originally got assigned to investigate Whitewater and ended up investigating Monica Lewinsky. So what are the lessons here about special counsels?
Well, it should have been circumscribed by Rod Rosenstein. He should have said, for the purpose of investigating Russian collusion only. And if investigating only Russian collusion you come across a crime, well, then that can be prosecuted. But expanding this to business dealings before Donald Trump even thought about running for president is certainly mission creep.
Victoria, depending on who you listen to in the last 24 hours or so, you've got Trump supporters saying that this is tantamount to a coup. You've got people who don't like Trump saying that this is simply how the justice system works sometimes.
Well, no, it isn't. It didn't work that way with Hillary Clinton, did it? No, it's not.
Not in that case, certainly, no.
No, certainly not. But that's why all of us who knew the criminal justice system were complaining about the investigation of Hillary Clinton. They didn't do the normal procedure of opening up a grand jury. They should do so now, by the way, because the foundation has not been examined. And there are lots of new emails now acquired by Judicial Watch showing that there was lots of pay for play back and forth. Money coming in, $1 million coming in. Can you get my friend an ambassadorship?
Last question, what will you be looking for, whether it's through leaks or anything else, about this grand jury in the coming weeks and months to determine whether Mueller's tracking on the task that he was supposed to be on or whether it's something much different?
Well, the leaks will tell you, but there should not be leaks. This is disgraceful if the leaks are coming from the prosecution or from law enforcement. If it's a singular witness saying something, then it would be limited to just what that witness is saying. But there should not be leaks about this investigation. And by the way, when Ken Starr was chosen, he had a reputation as being a very neutral person. He was not an active Republican. He was a judge, had been a judge on the Court of Appeals for quite a while, and was very much respected until the Clintons did him in. But for Bob Mueller to bring in a half of his staff having donated to Democrats, I think is just like blissfully unaware of the reality and the appearance of prejudice. Isn't there one good Republican lawyer in Washington, D.C.?
I know at least one. Victoria, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye.
Victoria Tunsing, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General and a former federal prosecutor. She's now a partner in the Washington law firm of DeGeneva Tunsing. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.